outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, November 16th, and
it's
we're back.
Friday!
It is Friday, and we're excited. Next week is a holiday.
I'm in Florida.
You're in Florida.
I can't wait. Yeah, my tiki bar calls me.
You what?
My tiki bar calls me.
What is that?
A tiki bar?
Yeah, what's a tiki bar?
You don't know
bar?
What a tiki bar is?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, Sam, you are so missing out.
Really?
Really? Okay, you know when you go to Hawaii or like the Caribbean or somewhere tropical and then there's like those huts that have like straw all over them?
Yes.
That's tiki.
Oh, okay.
And then like they're made of bamboo.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
So we have a tiki bar in my house.
Wow.
Well, outside of my house.
Really?
Yeah, because we live on the water.
Uh-huh.
So our dock is out back and the tiki bar is right off the dock. It's amazing. Like it looks like it should be a real bar that anyone would go to, but it's like our personal bar. Yeah. And my parents don't really drink, which is even funnier. I'm like, oh, it's for us kids. Awesome.
Yeah.
But there's a flat screen in it. And then, I mean, the kitchen inside of the tiki bar is like, literally, like I'm saying, like it could be an actual bar.
Really?
Like
see?
I could open it up and it would be a bar.
Yeah.
It's that amazing.
Wow.
And so anyway, I usually sit outside and because it's internet outside in the tiki bar too.
Uh-huh.
And I just sit outside, you know, and do all my work and whatnot. And then we've got citronella sprays because, you know, the mosquitoes are like ginormous at night.
Really?
Oh yeah, God. You're outside for like less than 5 minutes and you're like welted everywhere and you're like, ugh. Because we live like on the water,
yeah,
you know,
the water,
so it's
right?
really and it's humid, it's like really potent.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we've got citronella sprays and you press a button and it just zaps them. So it's great. So you can just sit outside at night in the tiki bar area. It's fantastico. It's a nice glass of wine.
Wow, nice. So
yeah,
so you're gonna have a nice little break.
I'm gonna have fun. My brother and a whole family will be there. But I get to see my brother and sister and we haven't, you know, all been together since actually I guess the summer. No, did we date this summer? I don't remember.
Mm.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just my mom, my sister and I. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Since us all have been together. So yeah.
Where does your brother live?
He's between Florida and Maryland.
Oh, okay. Somewhere in between.
He's got his real estate license in Maryland, so he does a lot of real estate there. But he just got it in Florida.
Mm.
So, and I think he's starting with a firm down there. I think he's with Coldwell Banker or something. But I think he just started somewhere in Florida as well. So.
Oh, cool. So
yeah, he's back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my sister, you know, she's Sam.
she's
one of a kind. That's for sure.
And she's still in New York, right?
She's still in New York. It's her last year. And she's going to finish out. She signed a lease in the summer. So she's going to stay in New York till the summer.
Mm-hmm.
She's working at the New York Open Center, which is a very spiritual place. And then another spiritual center in Brooklyn she just signed up for. So she's really busy. She's teaching yoga as well. So
cool.
She's busy as it can be. But then she's coming out here for graduate school.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. You'll be close to each other.
Yeah. She still hasn't chosen if she's going to go to Seattle, San Fran, which is more looking like San Fran now, or San Diego.
Oh, okay.
So I hope it's San Diego so that, you know, we'll get to, like, hang out every weekend or whatever.
That's true, yeah.
It'll be super fun.
San Diego is nice. You know, the schools there are nice, too.
So. Well, she's in school for, like, herbalism, same thing that I'm doing.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll be able to help each other out and whatnot. So it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, same family, you know.
I know.
Same interests.
We're all crazy. We're all voodoo. No, I'm kidding. My friends call it, can you make me some of your voodoo magic so I don't get sick?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. They make all these, like, weird things.
Potions.
I do.
Potions.
Well, like, teas and stuff. Like, if you're sick, I can help you. You won't be sick anymore. Give me three days. Give me 3 days, and you will be better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I've got magic potions.
potions and herbs and things like that? Is that
shakes.
What it is?
Yeah, cheese shakes, you know, the above. Speaking of which, I saw Twilight last night.
Oh, you did?
I did. I went to the midnight showing.
Uh-huh.
I do it every year.
Yeah.
I know. You know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be last night. Because usually, I mean, every year I've gone, it's been lines out the door. Mm. People are screaming. They're wearing Team Jacob or Team Edward or whatever. And it's like complete insaneness.
Right.
And last night it wasn't that bad. I went to the 12:15 showing. There's showings like every 5 minutes at the ArcLight.
Really?
And yeah, but like, maybe
this is a new Twilight, right?
Right. The brand new Breaking Dawn.
What is it, like a third one or something?
It's the last one. No, yeah. It's the fourth one.
Fourth one?
Yeah, okay. It's the last one. I liked it. I mean, I think too the reason why it wasn't as busy is because every movie theater has decided to open it up for every 5 minute intervals.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Because they're smart. So it wasn't that bad at all. And I'm like, oh, I got there early, and I'm like, oh, well now I have to sit around and wait. I hate that.
Yeah.
Like I like getting there just on time, so I don't have to sit around and wait. I hate waiting.
Yeah. I know. And it's funny because last week they were showing on the news people camped out like 2 weeks before it started.
Yeah.
And people are so freaking crazy.
I remember that. I see. That's why I like buying tickets at the ArcLight. So I buy my seats and I know what I'm getting in advance. And I know I've got great seats. And then, you know, I don't get popcorn. I have like a trick. Like if there's a line, you wait till like people are in the theater and during the, you know, like promos are coming on, then you go out and get
it. Then you go get it.
Because then no one's there.
Yeah.
Like that's.
And the ArcLight is beautiful theater.
Yeah.
You know?
It's I like really the ArcLight. Nice. There's so many good movies coming out too.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like I'm really excited to see half of them.
Yeah.
The Hobbit's coming out.
The Hobbit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably pass on that one.
Really? You didn't like Lord of the Rings?
No, I saw half of the first one.
Oh my gosh.
About it. Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's kind of fiction that appeals to certain people.
It's true.
Know?
Like not everyone.
Yeah, I learned it in school and stuff. You know, we read the book and that. You know,
see, those types are my favorite. Did you like Star Wars?
Star Wars, I loved.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, when it comes to, because it's the same sort of like mystical fantasy.
Yeah, but Star Wars is science fiction. This is more like fantasy and stuff, right?
A little bit. Yeah. I love fantasy science. Like, well, it depends what kind of science fiction, but I like more of the fantasy kind. Like my all-time favorite movies are, if it's some kind of fantasy, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, Harry Potter, my favorite, Twilight, you know, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. I love the books, you know.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the film.
Whoa.
All the Star Wars. Yeah, I know. I'm like a total geek.
No, but it's cool. I know a lot of people are into that stuff, you know. Maybe I'll give it a try and check it out.
You should try it. I think you'd like it.
It's like a big production.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
They spent so much on it.
Were you ever into like the Never Ending Story or anything?
No fantasy.
Lion, Witch, the Wardrobe.
No. I usually go to for
Narnia.
Thrillers.
Okay, see, I love it. They're like things I read as a child.
Right.
And I love when Disney makes them, you know, into these amazing films because it's like you can go with a child, but you can still go as an adult and get away with it. Like, you know, if I decide to buy tickets and I'm not bringing like a friend's child along, then I'm like, I can go here still. What are you talking about? Like, this is my childhood. You know, like I still feel fine. I went and saw Mary Poppins, the new one, when it came out.
Yeah.
I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know. That's why when like the Olympics came on and they had the first, it was like half an hour. I don't know if you remember that.
The opening ceremony?
Right.
Yeah.
And I loved it because they had every Disney fantasy film that they were representing in the very beginning. Like, you know, Bedknobs and Broomsticks and like Chitty Chitty Bing Bang and like all those amazing fantasy films that I grew up to, and they've always remained my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, I love the British films. I love when...
Yeah, they're nice.
They're the best.
I know.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'm not into it because I was traumatized when I saw The Wizard of Oz when I was really young. Yeah.
Oh, those are my favorite, too.
But I think they took me to see it when I was too young, you know?
Yeah.
It was scary for me.
I guess, you know, the monkeys used to scare me when I was younger, the flying monkeys.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, but out of everything, I was like, oh, my God, I want a munchkin. Like, I really wanted to, like, adopt a munchkin. I'm like, do you remember when the Cabbage Patch Kids came out? The only reason I loved it was because I thought they were mini munchkins.
Really?
Because the Cabbage Patch Kids were like they literally like hatched out of cabbages.
Right.
Do you remember the story?
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, look, their baby is coming from cabbages. It's kind of like munchkins.
Yeah.
And that's why I was obsessed with Cabbage Patch Kids. So weird.
Yeah. How old were you when they came out?
Oh, probably four,
really?
Maybe, or five. Yeah, and yeah. I remember my parents, when the preemies came out, they waited in line because that's like all I wanted for my birthday. It was, you know, I had to have every new doll. Like, that was my thing.
Yeah.
And they waited in line for hours upon hours. They wanted to kill me to get these preemies and the new Cabbage Patch doll that I had to have.
I know. They were like so hard to get.
I know. And I used to go everywhere. I'd drag that doll with me everywhere. If it wasn't with me, I'd cry.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
It was so
I know, there's been a lot of stuff like that. You know, when my kids were growing up, there was all these characters and stuff that came out. So it was pretty funny, too. Remember they had the Tickle Me Elmo?
Oh, my gosh. I remember Tickle Me Elmo. Yeah, that was a little...
Everybody was trying to get that.
The people I babysat had it because I used to nanny. So it was like I used to carry on my stupid childhood. Like, and that's how I got away with it. Because when my sister was born, she's 11 years younger than me. So she was like my little child, you know? So I would be like, okay, well, I could still get away with being cool, going to movie theater if I drag a two-year-old along.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, she'll want to see it, you know? Or like, I used to nanny for these families, so I would like drag along the kids. I'm like, I'm taking your kids to see the movies. And they're like, oh, please, get rid of
yeah,
them.
Take them.
Just because I wanted to go. And not look stupid to go see a child film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the lady that played Smurfette, died last night. She was 96 years old.
Wow,
96. Yeah.
Wow.
So I saw that on Twitter this morning. I don't know. Just decided to share that with everyone.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I used to love the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's somebody's calling. So we have...
We have two guests today.
We forgot to cover the guests. Whoops. So just introduce them to us as soon as they... yeah. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. This is Melinda Minchin.
Hi, Melinda. Yeah. How are you?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Melinda.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Brigetta's going to introduce you to us, and because we didn't get a chance to discuss you yet, so go ahead.
We were just babbling on and on and on this morning about stuff, but she's the author of a book called Raw Extreme Living, and she's done all kinds of things, so I'm going to let you speak and tell us about you and the book and how it came about and whatnot.
Yeah, I've had a crazy life where I think I've tried to die in a million ways. I led groups through the Amazon, and I've lived with tribes and cannibals and just been all over the planet, really kind of exchanging humanity with others, building orphanages and learning how to hunt and fish, spearfish.
So awesome.
And so recently, in 2010, I contracted necrotizing fasciitis, which is a form of strep A, and arrived at the hospital bed and really wasn't expected to live. And not surprisingly, I lived and found it to be really one of the most amazing experiences I get to have.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Wow. So, well, we're getting a little echo there, huh? But that's okay. So, so I'm on your website now. The book is Raw Extreme Living. Now, you went to Africa, right?
Yeah, I went to Africa in 2010. It was probably almost dozenth trip. And tented throughout Central and South Africa.
How amazing.
Which was just incredible.
Right.
How did you decide to do this? Like, what triggered you to kind of just decide, I'm going to go pick up and take off and live with tribes and, you know, see how they live and work with them?
Yeah.
Well, strangely, I stayed at a monastery. I was a philosophy undergrad in college, and I stayed at a monastery for a summer when one of my friends decided he didn't want to become a priest. And I thought I was going to go on to law school, but ended up being sort of guided into business school. And I signed up for my first survival trip to the Amazon in Peru because I didn't feel like I was really quite tough enough to be a business person. So I went to the jungle.
Yeah.
And
that makes so much
really
more
fun. Learned to trust myself,
right.
You know, and really grew.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. I mean, did you go alone or with friends or how did it work out for you?
I went alone and was dropped by helicopter into virgin jungle with a couple of guys who had served in the Peruvian army.
Uh-huh.
And they taught me how to, you know, feed myself, build a wean to, what to look out for in terms of what could kill you. And then they left me alone for the rest of the week. And I loved it. I didn't feel afraid. I was very comfortable being alone in the midst of such unfamiliar surroundings.
Wow. Are you an adventurist by nature?
I think I'm a pretty stable girl, but yeah. Apparently, I'm a little bit of an adventurous by nature.
Yeah.
Hey, I would be right. What your life sounds amazing. These are things that I would absolutely love to follow.
Yeah, but listen, let's find out what happened to her when she came back. So, Melinda, tell us what happened.
Yeah, when I came back from Africa, I was fine, and a few months later, I just started to feel like I had the flu, and I called a couple of friends, and one of my friends said, you know, you really sound sick, I'm going to come over and get you, and he did, and he came home the next day, I was staying in his guest room, and found me passed out on the floor. I had dropped the glass, and I was kind of, you know, bleeding from my cuts and from passing out. And he is a pretty big guy, so he took me to urgent care, where while I was waiting for a doctor, I had a heart attack. And they got me off to the hospital, arrived dead, and kept dying. I mean, I died a few times and was gone for more than 3 minutes.
Wow.
So when after a surgery and a couple of surgeries and going into a coma for about 2 weeks, I woke up, and they clearly thought I was brain dead. But my mouth was sewn shut because that was a part of the necrotizing fasciitis that they had to cut away a part of my face.
Oh my
so
God.
I couldn't talk, but I could write, and I just initially wrote, I'm here, I'm okay, and I'm going to stay alive.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, but then it got complicated. I see you talking about surgeries here, and tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I've had now 19 surgeries, and initially they didn't know what was wrong with me. So they did all sorts of tests on me, and I'm a super healthy girl. You know, I do aerobics, I taught spinning, blah, blah, blah. And so I looked super healthy, but I was very dead, very, very sick.
Mm.
And so I had subsequent surgeries where, they just cautioned my family and me that I may not wake up. But after I went into a coma and experienced sort of, if you will, the afterlife or whatever you'd like to call it.
That's what I was going to ask you next, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was exhausted when I was apparently in a coma, and I just kind of exclaimed, I'm not going back. I mean, I'm just too wiped out. I can't go back. And the things, the kind of blobs of light and love that surrounded me just kind of laughed at me and said, no, you're going back.
Yeah.
And so I liken it to, you know, being at home for the day sick from, you know, from school and having your mom say, why don't you rest, honey, that you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it felt. I was just immersed in love and in warmth, in understanding. And when I came back, even though my mouth was sewn shut and I was still wiped out, I just really knew that I wasn't going to die and that I was really okay.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
So since you've come back and since you've, have you had any interesting experiences? Like, are you like more intuitive? Are you more anything like that? Just kidding.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to say, oh, nothing happened, and black really is black, and white really is white, but that isn't what my experience has been. After all of this happened, and I came back from the hospital, and I was on my own, if you will, you know, for the first time without people making sure I was okay, I really saw the world in a much different light mm-hmm. than even I had before, and I was, you know, the full of philosophy person drifting around, where it just seemed like the things that we all get wrapped up in, like getting gas and getting groceries and having spats with people, just seemed so superficial to me. And that was the beginning of how my life changed. As I've grown and become more and more healthy, of course, I really do see people so much more clearly. I'm so much more in tune.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it seems like a novel, but it really is how it's all been laid out.
Right.
That's amazing.
So are you feeling that, I mean, are you glad you went through this experience?
That's a really good question, because when I was recovering, I got to listen to all sorts of people's takes on what they thought this was about. You know, some people, right. Oh, you must have, take a fundamentalist, you must have been a sinner and you've repented or something, and so you were punished. Uh-huh. I'm not buying that. And no, I don't think I asked to lose my feet and have my, you know, have my body hacked up only to heal.
Wow.
But do I think it was a valuable experience? Yes. I don't think it was pre-planned or pre-arranged, but I wouldn't trade it. I mean, I'm just really happy to be alive.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I'm just curious, are you planning on going around and, like, speaking to other people to kind of, like, you know, encourage, like, I don't know, maybe other people who have gone through experiences like this? Like, what is your goal now? Like, where are you now?
Well, I'm a patient advocate for several companies, so I talk to folks who may be facing an amputation or who have, or people who are just very sick, as well as I have two young daughters who are almost 9 and 10 little girls, and I've gone to speak with them to schools as students, and people, I think this is probably the worst experience that they can think of in their mind, and so when I arrive and I'm so happy and sort of floating on, you know, I'm being kind of high on life, I think they do a double take and go, wait, did you just say that you don't have feet?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know, wow. You know, I mean...
Well, it really is not a big deal.
Yeah. Well, your spirit is amazing, you know. I mean, in light of all this and stuff, you're still laughing and you're enjoying life and everything. So that's amazing, you know. I'm sure the book is just as encouraging and inspirational. Melinda, why don't you give us your website so people can go and find out more about Raw Extreme Living?
Yeah, it's my name, Melinda Minchin. .wordpress.com.
Okay.
And you can also just search for my name, Melinda Minton, and find me. Before I almost died, I've been a spa consultant for years and years, and so have written various books on that topic.
Oh.
But, amazing. And now I'm just spreading a little bit more joy.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, I salute you for going through everything you went through. I mean, this is, you know, this is like amazing, but you definitely have a story to tell. So, you know, maybe that's the reason. Maybe you were supposed to share it with other people and inspire
and so forth,
you know.
So. Well, I tend to think we're all miracles who are just continuing to unfold, and I just feel really blessed to still be here and, you know, being able to be around people and hopefully being a really bright light among them.
Yeah, and maybe some people should think twice about going to live with the cannibals, huh?
But oh my God.
You know what, the cannibals were the most loving people I have ever met.
Really?
Ever.
Wow. Wait, are they still cannibals? Because I went and stayed with the Maori tribe, and they were cannibals 50 years ago. But they, like, I mean, were they still cannibals to this day who you were with, or?
Yeah, a lot of the Polynesian tribes, like, I recently went to Fiji and just hiked around with my prosthetic feet, and they used to be cannibals years ago.
Right.
But where I went to live in Irian-Jaya, which is a part of New Guinea, they still, because the government really doesn't have a hold on what they're doing out in the countryside, they still spiritually eat one another to keep their spirit alive within them, so ceremoniously, as well as they're giant warriors. They have spats between their tribes over a variety of things. Mm. They kill each other in bloody battles, really, with just any kind of weapon they can craft. And then they disrespect each other by eating the other tribe. So it really does still happen. But my experience was they roasted a pig for me, the little vegetarian me, and, you know, they handed me their babies, and they gave me a weapon and said, go hunt, and they just loved me for who I was right away.
Yeah. That's Brigitte's kind of life, you know? I mean, you need to do and go this extreme life. You guys would get along very well. All right, Melinda, well, thank you so much. This is amazing.
Thank you.
Exactly. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yes, and everybody go check out, you can just Google Raw Extreme Living and you'll find Melinda's site. It's also, if you want to go there directly, it's melindaminton.wordpress.com. Melinda, thank you. All the best to you. And
absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, I'm impressed by your courage. It's amazing.
Amazing story.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye, Melinda.
Wow.
What a story.
You know, it's funny. I've always wanted to go and live with tribes.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go over and learn different plants and medicines in different tribes. Never say never, because you know, I can still do it. But
I know, but you don't want to come back with something like that.
Yeah,
my God.
I wouldn't. But I mean, I've had other friends that have gone and done such things. A friend of mine, because I don't know if you know this, but I used to work at the Cape Fear Serpentarium, which is the deadliest snakes in the
yes,
world.
Yes, you told us. It's okay, in yeah. South Carolina?
In North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And I don't know. I love animals and I love reptiles. And so I worked there for a while, and he used to live with tribes. Mm. And he actually was in a coma for 30 days.
Really?
He was bitten by a bushmaster, which is actually one of the most deadliest snakes in the world. And it ate his, I mean, the venom within 4 seconds enters
wow.
your body. Yeah. And then it eats your skin, basically alive. It's so acidic. And there's pictures that he has still to this day. And he lived with the tribe unconscious for a while, and they nursed him back to health.
Wow.
And he woke up, and yeah. And so then now what he does is he does breed that kind of snake.
Yeah.
And trying to find the anti-venom for it.
Right.
Which is really cool. Yeah, so when I used to work there, he was a good friend of mine too, and complete bachelor pad. So he would be like, help me, you know, I'm having a date, so will you help me like clean up and tell me what to wear? It was so funny.
Yeah.
So I would like go upstairs and like help clean his place, because he lived above all the snakes, because you have to live on site. There's so much deadly snakes there that if something were to go wrong,
oh.
you have to be there. And
yeah.
I lived upstairs, and so I used to go up there and help get him ready and stuff for and whatnot. It was so funny. But this one room, if you went into it, there was like, and the baby snakes, they don't know how to control their venom, so they're actually the most dangerous,
oh.
the most deadly,
yeah,
because they kind of just spit their venom, and you'll die even quicker than you would if it were an adult one. And there were literally from floor to ceiling tanks of all the baby snakes. Of Bushmasters.
Yeah.
And I would just walk in and be like, oh, God. You know, like, I'm a klutz. What if I were just to accidentally trip on my foot, fall into a tank? You know, like, I start thinking like this, and I'm like, okay, you need to just get a whole new wardrobe, and then and then you're good.
Yeah.
You know, instead of me coming up to like, oh, wear this, oh, wear that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just go get, you know.
Just avoid it going
friends.
There.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, God. Yeah, I'm such a klutz. But it was really cool. But yeah, living with tribes was And then the assistant that worked there too, he did the same. So I thought it was always a really cool experience, and I've always wanted to try and do that. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
I admire her for doing that, and I absolutely admire her for courage for what she's doing now. And
yeah, amazing. I mean, she lost both her feet.
That's
and,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, that's why, you know, it sounds fascinating to go to those places.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take the risk, you know? I mean, you never know what's in the jungle.
Right, but she lived and she survived, given she doesn't have her legs, but she's still surviving around it. And I think, and she's a completely different person, like she was saying. So, you know, personally for me, I feel that...
Do you think it was worth it?
Here's my thing, and you're going to think I'm insane, but that's fine.
Well, we already know that.
Yeah, exactly. I believe that if it were supposed to happen, it would.
Mm.
So, you know, I went through something crazy when I was younger, and I know that I am set and nothing will ever happen to me ever again. Like, you know, and I'll never get sick. I'll never have any crazy, I mean, maybe a stupid crazy accident, but I'll never be to the point where I'm going to die or whatever, like, unless, you know, it was that time to go. But I feel like everyone in their life has some crazy challenge, whatever it may be, and they have to live through it, and they have to, it makes them who they are.
Right.
So I believe that was supposed to happen in her life.
That was her challenge.
And that was her challenge, and she's changed person because of it, and she's coming back and now speaking to others.
Right.
And spreading the word, and I kind of believe she'll do more than that.
Yeah.
But she needs to figure that out. But I mean, like, I feel like each person, you know, goes through these changes to help the world be better.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's true.
So giving me this smirky look over there. Smirky smirk smirk. Anyway.
Yeah. So who's the? We're gonna have another guest in
we
a few
are.
Minutes. Who
we're,
is that?
We're having Rosemary Gladstar, who is from Sage Mountain. It's actually another cool story. So Sage Mountain is she's an herbalist. And she grows all kinds of plants, what I want to do, grows all kinds of plants and whatnot for healing, for medicines and everything. And she actually developed, she's got a really cool story too.
Okay, so we'll,
let her talk about that.
Okay, Rosemary in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, we have the weekend coming and everything.
I know.
Yeah. And
I'm excited for the weekends.
Yeah, I know. Is it going to rain like today?
I'm not sure, but, you know, nothing's going to stop me from having fun and being happy this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Why? the weather's not going to damp your feelings. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But, I wanted to touch on a few things, but we don't have time because she's going to be in a few minutes. But I wanted to ask you, You like video games, right?
Yes.
Stuff. Are you going to get Call of Duty Black Ops too?
You're so funny. I'm not going to invest in it, but if it comes my way, which I think it is. Yeah. My roommate, he actually works for video games companies. He produces all their events. And we get games for free. So
really?
More than likely. And I get them nice. Before they come out. Yeah. Actually, yeah, they just did Call of Duty. So, yeah, I will have
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was released yeah. Tuesday.
I forgot because we have a poster in our house. So, actually, I think we have the game already in the house somewhere. Yeah, it's crazy the amount of money he gets paid to throw these events.
Really?
But basically, he produces the launch parties all around the U.S. and whatnot, the major ones.
Right.
And does events for Best Buy for the game. Like, he works for the video game companies and does it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's been all over, like, Canada recently doing it and
sounds
whatnot.
Like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get free video games, so that's pretty cool. But I haven't had time. When do I have time to play games
I know.
Anymore?
I know. I used to play a lot when my son was younger. We'd play all the time and stuff. But now it's like I'm dying to get these games. But you know what? The last few games of Call of Duty I got, and I never even played them.
Yeah,
you know?
So they're just sitting there in the wrapper still.
Yeah, it's like
us
I'm not
too.
Into it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I used to be, but
I mean,
anymore.
It's fun for an occasional like escape or whatnot, but I don't even have time to watch my own favorite TV shows that are TiVo'd, you know? So,
Right. Yeah. I know. But it seems to be, you know, the last Black Ops made about $13 million.
Wow.
No, 13 million units. So you multiply that by 50,
yeah,
60
you
bucks,
of,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a lot of money, man. You know, sometimes they make more money than movies on these
I mean,
these
they
games.
They do. They make so much money. And they put so much money to go into it as well, though. Like, you know, even the development of the games is just incredible to watch. They've
right.
got full body suits that you wear.
Yes.
And they have, like, they control. So, like, every person in the game is based off a real person.
Right. And
it's
they do motion
incredible.
Capture and
exactly.
stuff. Yeah, they attach things to your body.
It's really incredible.
And
yeah.
the amazing thing is I used to work in this. You know, I
oh,
used
did
to
you?
Be a 3D animator. And,
no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, so, yeah, I did.
Wow.
Because I had my own animation company that I started.
What the hell?
Yeah, you didn't
I
know
didn't
that?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a small animation company. We did 3D animation. And
so,
then I sold it, and I moved to Vegas and worked for Westwood Studios, who used to make, like, Command & Conquer and, you know, those games. So, actually, back then, people were not doing 3D games yet.
Yeah.
You know, it was all flat stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I was doing, like, visualization for it and that. So, it was amazing, you know. So, yeah, I know the process. And you're around artists,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And designers and things like that. But it's just amazing how they put something like this together.
So, if I wanted something to be animated, could I go to you?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Oh, by the way.
I haven't done it in years, though, you know.
That's so cool, though. There's a couple of things that I've considered.
Yeah.
But I'm actually going to be a cartoon. Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh, I can't talk too much about it because it's not out yet. But there's a new show that's in development. And I was going to hopefully go see it today, but they're not ready yet. They said after the new year.
Really?
But
So they modeled the character after
they
you?
They modeled it after me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I know.
You know that I'm getting into cartooning now. I don't
really?
Know if I shared that on the radio, but
no.
I...
Oh, wait, you did briefly.
Yeah,
did briefly.
The past couple weeks, I just realized, man, I need to do this. So I went, got all the materials and, you know, reading books, starting to do things.
How cool.
And it looks pretty cool. And then I went and got a tablet for the computer the other night. And now I can draw on the computer, which is mm-hmm. amazing.
Oh, that's
just
cool.
Amazing.
That's right, because you can connect it and then...
Yeah, it's like has a pen, like a stylus and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
fun.
And then you don't have to erase things. You can create layers and all that, you know. So, but I like both. I like it with a pencil, too.
Yeah. What's so funny is this is like what I studied in school back in the day.
Really?
And because I was in art school and that's a whole other story. But I wanted to be all kinds of an animator, and then I changed it and I was like, oh no, I'm gonna go and I did AutoCAD and I was gonna design homes.
Yeah.
And then we switched that and then I've done it all.
That's cool though that you're into
years.
That.
Yeah. But it's funny because I my artsy self has finally started to come back. It goes in spurts. It really does.
Yeah.
And it was weird. Like the other night, I don't know where it came from, but I all of a sudden had like lyrics in my head.
Really?
So I was like, oh, wait. And I wrote it all down and I wrote this pretty cool poem.
Wow.
And I was like, where did that come from? I haven't written anything in years. Like I don't even call myself poetically inclined anymore. I used to be.
Really?
And then I guess it was hidden for, I don't know, since I moved from North Carolina, I haven't been as creative, like I in that way.
Yeah.
I write, I create things, I create ideas, But when it comes to the words, it's just not me.
Right.
But I just...
Maybe you don't have the patience to sit with it? Or...
You know, but I used to. And I
But
feel
people change, you know? I mean, you change.
It's different.
You get a different lifestyle from North Carolina,
It's almost a little the same. I was in the entertainment industry there for 3 years that I was there. But I feel like it's the atmosphere. I don't know what it is about the East Coast, but I feel like the older historical areas, I feed off that energy, if that makes any sense to you at all. But I did, and it made me very, I was more in nature and it made me more creative in a way.
Yeah.
So being out here, I mean, I love being out here. Don't get me wrong. I really do.
Right.
It's just not the same energy.
Not as much inspiration and stuff. Yeah.
And when I go back home, I get artsy again, which is really interesting. Like, I'm in Maryland or Carolina, still my second love, you know? But being here, I don't know. It's funny. It hasn't happened. And then all of a sudden the other night, I'm like, what? It just came back. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is cool, you know.
Yeah.
But I like creative stuff. You know, I've played guitar all my life.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But then I haven't played in years, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like you go through phases in your life, I think, where you go through things.
Right.
And excuse me. And I think I'm back to the art thing, you know. It's
cool.
Like, give me art, you know.
Yeah.
And to create things again. And I'm dying to know how to draw people in caricature. You
See,
know?
That's one thing I can't do, people. It drives me... Because I'm such a perfectionist that I want... Because I used to try... I mean, I could draw anything you want. If you put it in front of me, I can mimic anything.
Really?
Mimic it for sure. Like, I will carbon copy... Well, let's just hit the thing. I will carbon copy it. But when it comes to a person...
Right.
I can't, because I'm such a perfectionist that every line has to look exactly like you, even though I know it's art and it's your expression of that person.
But that's why I'm saying, when you go into cartoons, you're simplifying things, so it doesn't have to be realistic.
True. I could probably do that. I mean, I mean, I know I can. It's just, you know.
But I know what you mean, and you know, that kept me from pursuing this for a long time, because I thought, you know, I mean, already like day one when I sat down, I said, I'm never going to learn this stuff, you know. But then you practice. That's what it's about. It's about practice, just like a musical instrument or anything. You got to do it every day and you get better at it. And I already have, you know, I've made a lot of progress in a week. So I'm really excited about it, you know, and I don't have much time, but I make time for it.
Good.
Because, it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun. Enough with sitting with a computer all day and shit, you know? Give me some pencils and paper. And...
I do miss that. I mean, I used to have so many color pencils, and that was my thing. I loved oil pastels.
Yeah.
Loved them. It's funny, the first time I picked it up, I wasn't sure how to use it, and then I drew this. I still have it framed. It's in my house.
Yeah.
This, like, elephant, and because it's a good luck elephant. So I was like, I'm going to make it be a good luck elephant and make it have energy. I'm so retarded. This is, like, years and years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, my first time picking up oil pastels, and that's pretty good. I was like, but I've sent my parents a lot of different things, because we have a parrot back home, so I used to do, like, the parrot stuff and then things for the house and all kinds of stuff. They've got my good work.
Oh, awesome. Well, our next guest is calling in, so let's find out. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, this is Rosemary.
Hi Rosemary.
How are you? that could have been timed better.
I know. Well, we want to make you feel welcome, so we thought we'd sing to you.
Exactly.
I feel really welcome. Thank you so much.
Good.
Of course. So, Rosemary, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and...
About Sage Mountain and about how you got started and everything. You've got so much that you do, so I wanted you to
share. Sage Mountain. What's Sage Mountain?
Well, it actually is a mountain.
Okay.
It's out here in northern Vermont, so we have, I'm sure you're in sunshine right now, we have snow here.
Oh, wow.
But it's an herbal retreat center, actually, where people come from all over the country and world to study medicinal plants, how to take care of yourself, and also we emphasize a lot of plant conservation, you know, how to make sure that we're not over-harvesting. But most of the focus, I would say, is on learning to use plant medicine in traditional ways that people have used for thousands of years to keep healthy and be vital, and it's great fun. I love it.
Wow. So is that like a retreat where people go for a few days and you teach them all this stuff?
Yeah, you know, it actually is. It's a 500-acre retreat center that abuts 26,000 acres of wilderness. So even though it's not hard to get to us, we're actually off of the main road. It's kind of neat for people who especially people from the city and stuff who, you know, aren't used to being in such a natural area. So people love coming here, and they'll stay for sometimes a week. Sometimes we have two-week programs, and often just for a weekend. And then, you know, if you're ever passing in our neck of the woods, you can even stop by and just go hiking in the woods or walk through our gardens. It's open to the public here.
Wow.
Awesome.
So now you guys own all this area there?
Yes, but you have to remember, we're in Vermont and you're in California, right? So, you know, yeah. What it costs to own 500 acres here is probably what it costs for a lot over there in Southern California.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can buy all these acres here, you'd probably get like a 1,000 square foot house.
Exactly.
That's right. It's so true. So, you know, it's all relative, but I'm a California girl. I grew up in Northern California and the Sonoma Valley area, you know, and uh-huh. North of San Francisco.
Yeah. How did you end up in Vermont?
Yeah, so I moved here. What did you say? What drew me here?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, you know how there's always many answers, many layers to an answer.
It's usually a man, right?
Usually a guy.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like to say that. I say, oh, I needed a big change in my life and the plants were calling me, but actually I fell in love with a Vermonter.
Okay, well, that's usually the story. Well, but it sounds like you ended up in a very nice place, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's stunning, actually. It's, where I'm sitting right now, I can look out over eight different mountain ranges out my front yard.
Oh, and my goodness.
It is really beautiful. It's an amazing, gorgeous area, and then where we live is very beautiful.
Right. Now, when
you come visit sometime.
I know.
Yeah, we will. I mean, this sounds amazing.
Actually taking online classes, distance learning classes from there, so I have to come and check out the actual place.
You do. Wow. I would really love it if you did, honey. It'd be great.
That awesome. Would be so
yeah, I'm really
fun.
Excited that you're interested in learning about plants. It's a very joyful and empowering study, so I'm proud of you for studying it. It's great.
Thank you.
Now, were you into plants and herbs and all that before you moved to Vermont, or is that something you...
Yes, you know, I'm one of those lucky people. I grew up in a very traditional farm family in Sonoma County, and my grandmother was an Armenian herbalist, and from the time I was really young, she taught me about the wild plants and how to use them. And so really, I'm in my 60s now, and I've been doing this all my life, both as a way of life and a passion, but also as a career. Mm-hmm. And it's been, as I said, I'm still completely in love with it and love what I do. So, but yes, the little herb store, I opened up an herb store in Sonoma County called Rosemary's Garden in 1972, and it's still there on the main street of Sebastopol.
Oh my gosh.
Drive up and in the early 1980s, I opened up an herb school called the California School of Herbal Studies, which is in Forestville, California.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's actually known as the longest-running herb school. It's still a very popular school that people from all over the nation go to, so that's still there. And I think back in the late 1970s, I helped to start a company called Traditional Medicinals.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is a, yeah.
Are you
very
serious?
Well-known.
No way. I use all their stuff.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. So I've been doing this all my life. I've got to be, you know, part of the herbal resurgence, part of the herbal renaissance,
mm-hmm.
getting to see plants come back into, you know, more use than they had been for a long time. So that's very exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds good. And I see on your website you guys are marking your 25th year of doing this. So, yeah, this is amazing. So by now I'm sure you know what you're doing.
Well, you know, here's the truth of the matter is that, you know, as you get older, there's that old saying that you actually really know that you don't know very much.
Right.
I have to say, it's like I think I felt like I knew more when I was in my 20s, but... because, you know, the world is a mystery, and it's
right.
like, you know, the more you learn, the more there is to learn, and so definitely everything in nature is that way. So I'm more humbled now than I used to be about, you know, what I know, but also what I don't know.
Great. Yeah. So now I see you have all kinds of events and herbal conferences and
mm-hmm.
so forth, anything that has to do with nature, I suppose. So everybody check out sagemountain.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're speaking to Rosemary. And when someone wants to come up there, do you have like specific dates, or is that like a calendar or something that people can find out about?
Well, for our programs, we definitely have, you know, people have to sign up in advance. They're usually full, so people will sign up, and then And there's a good listing of them at our website. Thanks for mentioning that. But as I said, it's also, we have gardens and trails that we leave open for the public. It's usually in the summer, spring, summer, and fall, because in the wintertime, it's pretty, well, there's not much to see in the way of plants. It's a lot of snow, and, you know, we're actually up on a mountain, so it's not so easy for people to get here in the winter.
Yeah.
But during the summertime, it's open, and people come, as I said, from all over the world. Actually, we every year, every other year, we host this big international herb symposium, where which we ran Wheaton College, which is right outside of Boston, for. And there's, a, you know, close to 700 or 800 people that come from around the world to study, you know, modern and traditional ways of using the plants as medicine. And
I mean, I see, like, such a huge change in, I mean, especially out here in California, like, my friends alone, like, I, you know, I had Lyme disease, and I was on all kinds of medications and kept getting sicker and sicker, and I was in and out of the hospital, and I finally said, this is enough. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going naturally, and I work with an herbalist, and I'm cured. Like, I'm completely fine. And yeah, and it's so great. It's like, you are what you eat, and it has to do with everything you put in your body, and just healing with herbs and whatnot. And, you know, and I have friends that are that grew up in the same area as me that had Lyme disease at the same time, and they're still on medication, and they're still, like, very, very sick. So, you know, it's just the power of the mind and what you put in your body and eat right. It's just, it's amazing. And I'm finding more people, especially in California area here, just adapting more to this and going more with the traditional herbal way.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, none of us can deny that modern medicine, our allopathic system, isn't powerful, and it's saved thousands of lives. But traditional medicine, herbal medicine, by the way, and every once in a while you'll hear modern medicine referred to as traditional medicine, but it's not. It's traditional medicine means it's been used for thousands and thousands of years. It's usually an oral tradition that's passed down.
Mm-hmm.
So herbalism is really our traditional medicine, and it's the oldest system of healing in the world. And in truth, World Health Organization says that still 82% of the world's population uses herbs. It's the primary medicine used around the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, they'll think, oh, well, that just means, you know, developing or third world countries. But actually, places like Europe and China, which has a very evolved system of healing, you know, in Japan, they use herbs really almost as much as they use allopathic medicine. So there's room for both. But the tragedy in our country is that the AMA took over, you know, and kind of put its brand on and said everything else is illegal. And this is the, you know, and it was all pretty much based on greed and politics, not on what helps and heals people. So, you know, we're working really hard to try to empower people again to realize that really their body and what they want to do and what they want to put in their body is their choice. And there's lots of choices out there, from drugs to, you know, massage to faith healing to herbs. So, you know, we have to wisen up about a lot of things right now on this planet. And I think really probably the primal message is we need to take responsibility again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people kind of wanted to hand that off to whoever was willing to take it.
Exactly.
Okay, Rosemary, we're running out of time.
Thank you.
Sure, everybody check out Rosemary at sagemountain.com. There's a wealth of information on the website.
Tons of information.
And
thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you, and thank you for inviting me. It was fun.
Of course. Take care. Bye-bye, Rosemary.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Aw, she's so sweet. She's so sweet. Yeah, I'm learning so much. I'm, like, so excited because I get to make all these oils and whatnot, but I get to make my own natural lotions. I'm making a lip balm, and this is all through the class. Like, you're learning how to do all this kind of stuff. So let's say someone has, like, acne, then I would be able to make you a face toner or a certain lotion to help cure it, and that's kind of what I'm doing now, and it's so much fun.
Really?
I love herbs, and I'm like a witch at heart, I guess. In ways, I think I was, you know, a witch or Merlin back in my past lives or something. But it's just so much
spiritual, you know.
It's so much fun though, making these concoctions and mixing things together, and it's like, okay, I know the directions say mix these together, but I want to add my own flavor in. And that's what it's about, is discovering and, like, being your own and trying to see what you come up with. And it's fun. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, like, have a blast with her class. So if anyone's ever interested, it's really, it's fun and it's easy. And definitely check out Sage Mountain.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'd go there just for a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like amazing.
I mean, 25,000 acres.
Wow.
That's insane.
Can you imagine?
Yes. I'm definitely going to go there in the summer for sure, at least for, you know, a couple of weeks. That's going to be great. Because especially when when I'm done my studies and everything from there, I think it'd be really cool to go and meet her and
yeah,
kind
exactly.
of check it out.
And meet yeah. with all the plants and everything.
Exactly. It would be amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bridget, I have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And everybody, thank you all for listening. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.